Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
Bumped into Pastor Dan at a breakfast, so a bunch of other pastors, and we just got talking, and he said, why don't you come to our church? So we're here. We have a lot of people in common that we know and love, and I see several missionaries back there that we know, some very closely. Actually, one I went to high school with, which is kind of interesting. So we're really good. It's really good to be back in the United States. It's very good to be here and snowy Sunday morning, walking into a beautiful Christmas-decorated church. I feel like we're in a snowy wonderland today. So my kids don't see snow often, so they were loving it. Well, I have a family. We're a family of six. My name is Jared Park. My wife, Naldi. Her last name is not Naldi Park, although you can call her Naldi Park. In Chile, she's Chilean. In Chile, they don't change their last names. So her name is Naldi Laura Saavedra, if you can say that long name. That's her last name. Then you have my 12-year-old son, Tomas Park. In Chile, it's Tomas Park Lara. Then you have Kelsey, who's 9. She's Kelsey Park. Then you have Annalise, 6. Yeah. And then we have Haley, who's 3. Say hi, Haley. Say hi, everybody. Good. There's 3. And we have been in Santiago, Chile full-time as a family since 2015. And I was there short-termer and part-time with another full-time mission board from 2006. So I'm going on year 19 down in Chile. And we love to be able to share what the Lord is doing with his ministry down there. Before I get into it, I want to show you this stat that I came across. In 2018, the Barna Group put on a survey. This is a survey of evangelical church attenders. So people like you, people like me, sitting in the pew, and they asked them, have you heard of the Great Commission? Okay? Fair enough. It says there 51% of the people there said no. 51%. If you can see, there's a little tiny sliver at the very top. It's a black sliver. It says 6% said, I'm not sure. So you can add 51 to 6. What is that? 57, right? Then you have a little green section says, yes, but I can't recall the exact meaning. 25% of them. Anyone add that up? So just count that as a no, right? Okay, so count them all no's. So it's 80, what's 57 plus 25? 83%. 83% of churchgoers said basically they don't know what the Great Commission is. Praise the Lord for the 17% that said yes. Praise the Lord. So please don't be offended, as I assume most churchgoers don't know what this is. So let's review it. This is the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's the Great Commission. So now you can go up and be a part of the stats that at 17% that says, I know what the Great Commission is. There's a little paraphrase I put there at the bottom. As you are going, make disciples. So I have this incredible challenge presented to me as a young man who wanted to go into missions and then eventually ended up going to Chile. What's my challenge? How do I best complete that mission in Chile? That's a great question. How many of you are businessmen here or business owners? Anyone? So you have 1, 2, 3. As you start a business and you start streamlining processes, you say, how do I best go about this business? How do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this to be the most effective business possible to do what? To make money. And you get processes, efficiency, you start looking at all kinds of things, stats. So how does Jared and Naldi Park, Laura, how does Jared and Naldi go to Chile, another culture with different ways of living, and live this out? That was my challenge. So we have to know a little bit about Chile. Chile, not even in 1973, was a communist country. In 1970, they had a socialist president take it into communism. And in 1973, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, remember standing in these lines. This line is every week they had to get in the line for just a little thing of oil so they could cook bread. My mother-in-law remember standing in this line, this kind of line, to get her bread for the week. Every family was allotted a loaf of bread for a week. Her and her sisters, they used to split up and pretend they were from different families. She would get her piece of bread. Her other sister would get a piece of bread. Other sister would get a piece of bread. And she would take her bread, take it home to her room, take a bite, hide it so that her sisters wouldn't eat her bread. And the next morning, she would put a drip of water on it to soften it up, take another bite. So then she would hide it again for the next night until she could go back a week later and get another piece of bread. Wow. And I'm saying, how do I live the Great Commission with that background? Inside that culture? Well, my father-in-law also went through all that. He remembers as the conservative general took over the country in 1973 with the United States backing, by the way, Richard Nixon. His name is Augusto Pinochet. He took over. My father-in-law was 15 years old. He went into the Air Force, which is the main military arm down there, and he joined the military right after the whole dictatorship took over. He remembers going to his uncle's house. And as he went to his uncle's house, not realizing his uncle was one of the head of the Communist Party left in Chile, walked into his house, which is right down the road from his house, looking for his cousin. As he walked in, he walked into the top four or five generals of the Communist Party who were left in hiding. My father-in-law was in military intelligence. His whole job was to find communists and kick them out of the country. And as he walked in and he realized who the men were sitting at the table, his uncle's table, he said, "Jared, my heart went in my throat. As I saw what was going on, I turn around, fully expecting to be shot in the head. I start to walk out. I say, Ramon, his name was Ramon. Ramon, don't turn around. Walk out with your chest out, head high. Just walk and don't look back." As I'm walking out of the house, my cousin comes running out of the house. He says, "Ramon, Ramon." I stop. I try to get the fear off my face. I turn around. I look at my cousin. He says, "Ramon, what are you going to do?" I responded. He says he responded to his cousin, "If nothing happens to my family, nothing happens to your family." He turned. He said, "Jared," I turned. I walked away. My heart's pounding. Fully expect to get beat over the head, disappear. That's what happens. And I walked home. As he was stationed in metro stations guarding certain subway stations during the weeks that afterwards, months, years, he said there would be subway stations, some nights, most of them would have bombs go off because the Communist Party, all they wanted to do, they were kicked out of the country, but what they wanted to do is cause chaos, the ones who were left behind. They had this organized crime. All of them had bombs going off except for his. He didn't realize it, but his dad was going to his uncle and giving him a list and saying, "Ramon is going to be stationed here. Please don't bomb this metro station." He was in the Air Force for 21 years. God saved him through many different, that's just one of a bunch of stories. You would be glued sitting hearing his stories. But you know what, guys, why God saved him? Because he became a church planter. He retired from the military 21 years later. At the end of those years, went into a Bible Institute, an ABWE, a Baptist Institute down in Santiago, Chile. And this picture was taken 6 months ago. They started a church in their living room. I call it the airline church. I started going to it in 2009. There was about two seats on this side, three seats on this side, and about 10 rows. I call it the airline church. And as I started attending, at first there was a seat for me, and then in a couple different months from then, there was no seat for me. There was a window here on the side, and there was a hallway on the other side of the wall with two windows. And so I ended up sitting outside the window, listening to preaching, to give my seat up to people who were coming. And then it wasn't just me. Then it was 5 guys. Then it was 10 guys. Then we had to put on the patio window. I put a roof over the patio so that 25 people could sit through that window. And my father-in-law was preaching to the 35 people here and the 25 people through this window. It was awesome. And then we knocked down a back wall, so at least 10 more people. And then we actually knocked down the wall behind the preacher, so we have 10 more people. So we moved him back. So we had, I don't know, it was full. And I had to stand outside the window. In little time. So much so that you see that metal structure up there in this picture? One of the members said, "Pastor Ramon, I have this metal structure in my business." He was a businessman. "And I don't have anything to do with it. Let me bring it." We put it over top the front yard of the building we're meeting in, the house church. And this picture you're seeing is actually the front yard of the house. They call it the tent church because the first couple years we actually just put a sheet over top that structure. And where the chairs were, it's just all dirt. And you're sitting on the front porch right now is where the picture is being taken from, front porch of the house. Well, little by little, more people. I would say this is about 150 people sitting in this picture. Would you say the Lord saved him for a reason? And you get this, a Chilean planting a church with no American involved. Think about that for a second. With little resources, they have done so much. And then you have me. I come from something like this. This is my church, my home church, where I grew up. High Point Baptist Chapel. My dad and my grandfather started the church many years ago. I was born into I don't want to say it in a bad way, the machine. And this is all I knew. And I've got to go back to churches like this and figure out how to live out the Great Commission the most effective way possible. If you were to ask me today, which church is the richest church, I would say define rich. Because if you say alive, reproducing, people coming to Christ, it's like a harvest like no other, I would say this one. Unbelievable. And I don't know about you, I want to be where the action is. So I was raised in High Point Baptist Chapel out in Geigertown, Pennsylvania. There's a camp that goes with it, High Point Camp. My father and my grandfather started the church, and I went to Bible college at Baptist Bible, now Clark Summit University, which is now defunct. Went to Calvary Seminary, Baptist Theological Seminary, I have in common with Pastor Dan. That's where we had a breakfast together with a bunch of those guys. And I went into college and seminary knowing I was going to be a missionary. And as I was going through high school, I said, I want to be a missionary. It was a missions trip to Uruguay. My youth group went, and when we were there in Uruguay helping a camp get, you know, paint the buildings, cut the grass, that kind of thing, I remember looking at that camp and I saying, wow, and the campers came in, and I couldn't believe how they responded to that. It was not like here where you pull teeth to get a teenager to do something and to cheer or to get involved. Not even close. Well, I grew up in a camp ministry. My brother and I have a twin brother. And we lived in the camp. Our house we grew up in until I was 30 years old was inside the camp. And I would walk through the camp as a six-year-old with no shirt and no shoes on purpose. And my brother did the same thing because the campers had to have shirt and had to have shoes. So we would walk through the camp, no shirt, no shoes, and the campers would come up to, "Hey, they think we're a camper. You've got to have a shirt on." "No, I don't." "Yes, you do." "No, I don't. My dad owns this place." And they would say, "He does not." Yeah, huh? And I say, "I bet you a Snickers from the snack shop that my dad owns this place." And they would be like, "Okay, we take that bet." And they go up to a counselor and talk to a counselor. "Well, yeah, his dad's the head pastor. He's the boss." And I said, "Snickers, right?" later on as they start growing up, there's the game room, the ping pong table, the foosball, all that stuff. We would the counselors would put on a hustle, and they would be losing to a certain camper, and they had picked that camper specifically because they know that we could beat him. And then the 9-year-old me would come in to the 15-year-old camper who's playing ping pong or foosball, whatever it is, and the counselor had lost several times, and they were like, you know, a milkshake, I lost a milkshake, and they had to pay this camper a milkshake from the snack shop, something like that. And then I would walk in, or my brother would walk in, or both, and they'd say, well, I bet you can't, let's all or nothing. I bet you can't beat that kid. And they're like, okay, we'll take that bet, right? And, but if you lose, you owe all of us a milkshake. And my brother and I would win all the counselor's milkshakes or snack or Snickers. And I got to go from that to this. To a very low class, low resource, from a very high class, high resource place. And I got into Bible college. My whole goal in life was I want to do camp ministries in South America. But then after Bible college, I got into seminary, and you know what? That changed. There's a guy named Dr. Burgraff, who's a big part of my life. My father, a big part of my life. These guys are counseling me. These guys are sitting down with me for hours, and we're saying, how do we go and how do we start nationally run churches from the very beginning? That's the question. And they say, Jared, why don't you do that? And I said, I would love, and as I got in the seminary, I squeezed 3.5 years into 6.5 years in seminary. And as I'm sitting through those 6.5 years, it became, I don't want to do camp anymore, I want to plant churches. So much so that we actually started a young adults group at our church in that way, and it grew phenomenally. And then I got to the mission field, 2006, I left that, went to the mission field, and it was, okay, how do we plant churches? And it became, we sat down with a bunch of Chileans. These are the founders of our ministry, the three of them, the two guys on the left, the one guy in the bottom right, and myself and my wife. And we said, how do we do this? How do we start churches that are from the very beginning, run and started by a national church planter so that the American is never the one there causing issues later on, whether it be the dollar, whether it be the culture, whether it be just different things. And so we put our heads together, and these are relationships built from 2006 to 2015. So these are deep relationships, right? And they came up with this, Terra Alta Camp and Church Planning Center, with a tagline as a strategy says, identify, train, and connect. So Jared, why don't, Dr. Burgraff, Pastor Bill Park, several other guys, why don't you go down to Chile and do camp work in order to start churches? Don't just do one or the other. Do what God's gifted you to do and use that to plant churches. And so we treated it almost as a closed country, even though it's not, that I would go in with my profession or my expertise, which is camp. That's all I've ever done. I grew up in it. I was 11 years on the director's staff before I went in back down to Chile. And so let's start a camp that has as its aim to plant churches, but through other churches, not the camp being the tail that wags the dog. So we're going to identify the lost and church leaders. We're going to train them in all things church planting. And then we're going to connect them to areas, teammates, and strategies and go plant churches hand in hand with them. That's the strategy, identify, train, and connect. So we started communicating that message. We started identifying. We went around. I got one of these guys said, I want to help you as much full time. Long story short, I have to tell that maybe in a question and answer time. His name is Matthias. He's my co-director. We started going around to young adult groups. We started going around to different churches as we sharing the vision of what could this be. Remember, we haven't done anything. And so it's very risky to go and say, here's what we're doing when there's nothing behind you to show what you've done. And so we're there going to churches. We want to have camp. Our own church volunteers started getting things ready. This is, if you know what carpet ball is, we tried to make our own carpet ball that's collapsible because we don't have a property. We still don't have a property. So we have to store all these things through the year. So two of our members said, we'll help you make it. They didn't even know what carpet ball was. So I had to show it to them. So we We got a carpet ball. We had our volunteers. There's our first kitchen in our camp. We didn't have anything. We didn't have a fridge. We didn't have a stove. We didn't have anything. So someone, one of the guys on the property, he's a tent maker. He put up that tent roof. Someone brought a guest stove, a guest refrigerator, all kinds of stuff. And our ladies just started making magic, right? There's our first dining hall of our camp ministry saying, we're going to have a camp ministry. So we put up a tent roof. That little house is not our house. It's just the house that was there used as a food pantry. And then there's our little dining hall. Got some tables that we borrowed. And we got a Word of Life. One of the founders of Word of Life, Chili, came. And we had him do our camp training for the first 3 days of our first ever camp ministry. And so now we're getting ready. We have this theme, a survivor theme. This is 2017, 2016 actually. Getting ready to go into 2017. The summer is opposite. So it's December, November, December, January, February. In February, we started our camp. And this is a survivor theme. Because we were literally surviving. We had nothing. And I said, okay, let's go with it. So we put out the theme. And the very first video that we ever showed, as the campers sat down, they came in. We had zero campers signed up 3 days before. Zero. We're trying to get this online registry going, which they weren't used to. 2 days in, we have our camp training going on, 45 people. We say, guys, text your churches. No one signed up. Say, text your churches. 2 days in, zero. Tuesday night, we got one day left to go. Now it's a day and a half, one person signed up online. Next morning, the day of camp, they're going to start at 3 in the afternoon. The day starts at 8 a.m. There's 10 kids signed up. At 12 in the afternoon, there's 40 kids signed up, 45. And at 3 in the afternoon, all 45 kids showed up to camp. We had 45 volunteers and 45 campers. It was crazy, one-to-one, right? And then as they sat here, and we had a tent that we put up, made a makeshift meeting room. One of our directors is the actor. He's the face of the camp. We showed them this video the very first night that they were there, so just so you can see it.
Accepted special forces.
I'll translate as I can.
Helicopter and language qualified. No man. Sylvester Stallone is
qué
back.
It's such a muy good buena movie. La película. Quedaría, yo sé,
man, I would love to be. Well, how would I be like Rambo? Look, I got a message.
Oh,
look, camp is going to start.
Oh, yo tengo que estar
I got to be there.
Pero,
oh, no, but it's, I'm too old.
Años.
It's for teenagers.
Yo
but I could share my experience. I've got so much going on for me. No, I couldn't do anything. What was that? And there's nothing in it, he says. There's no one out there. Ah, it's nothing. He puts it down. So that sound's coming from the envelope, he said.
Hello?
Hello. My name is Jared.
I'm speaking
Park.
English. The
camp
kids
director
don't know
at
English, so they're laughing.
Camp. And I want. Oh, perdóname. Mi nombre es
Sorry.
Jared Park.
My name
director
is Jared Park.
De Tierra Alta
and
Camp.
I'm the
y quiero que
I'm the missionary with Tierra Alta Camp.
Animador.
We want you to be the first director
comment.
Of Tierra Alta Camp.
¿Por qué yo?
He's like me. Why
yo no
me?
Soy nada. Yo
I'm nobody.
No tengo experiencia.
I don't have any experience.
Soy poca cosa.
I don't know
no
what
sé,
I'm doing.
En realidad, no,
sí.
I
nada.
Said yeah.
Sí, lo sé.
I know.
Pero no había más
but there was no other option. We want you to be the director that guides the teenagers to be survivalists. You're going to be the Chilean Rambo. What do you say? Do you accept?
Yes, sir.
Now, Johnny, you got to know that the director has to be in good physical shape. You've got to run fast. You've got to be agile. You've got to be strong. You got to be able to do these things in any kind of weather.
Resistencia a todo tipo de clima. Y nunca, pero
and above
nunca
all, you can never, never, ever give up. Today, it starts, Johnny.
Tú vas a ser
the challenge starts. You're going to be the first director. Welcome
Bienvenido,
to Tierra Alta Camp.
And
as you see, he's driving in a bicycle and with those clothes. That's how he drove into the back of the tent and drove right up on stage in the bicycle. Okay, and you have the 45 campers or the 45 volunteers all sitting there. Can you imagine how it started? They went crazy. They went crazy. This Chilean Rambo's up there hamming it up. And that's Johnny. If you know, you'll see more pictures of him. That's his whole personality anyway, by the way. He's amazing. He's the face of the ministry. But you guys know what camp is. It's that very first camp in 2017, February 3rd it started, 2017. We know what summer camp is in the United States. I don't have to explain that here. And you know what happens? We had hammocks instead of beds. We couldn't afford beds, so some Brazilian missionary said, buy hammocks, they're cheaper. So we did. So we got some hammocks. There's our picture of all the volunteers and the campers that very first year, 2017. Great picture. But instead of telling you how it went, I'm just going to show you how it went. There's the property. Did a lot of work to decorate it, get it ready. That big tent there is where they slept. Divided girls and guys on different sides. This is our gospel games. This is sin. As they get dirty in sin, they go through life trying to get sin to be satisfied or get sin clean. They can't do it. They even try to use their friends to clean themselves of sin, and it actually contaminates the friends. And they get even dirtier. The only way to get clean is through the living water of Jesus Christ. And these are the different stations of this game, and then there's spiritual growth. And then we explain the game. That's our icebreaker. Every year it looks a little different, but every year it has the same principles. Every year, four or five kids they set
prices. Pero esta noche necesitamos tomar una decisión. Y déjame decirte que no hay nada que cambiará tu vida.
He said, let me tell you, nothing can change your life like Jesus Christ. These were a novelty. They didn't know what they were, some of them. They know how to. And of course, someone donated. We invested through a donation in something that would grab their attention. Anything soccer will work, right? Just do that? Oh man, I'm sorry. We'll skip it. We can skip that. Now you saw. Okay, do you think it was an exciting week? Pretty good week. Pretty good week. 45 campers, 45 volunteers. We had 13 salvation decisions. 10 of those were our scholarship program, which we had started. We had 17 scholarships to give out, but the churches wouldn't take them. Because they didn't know who we were. And so we were able to give 10 of them out. And all 10 of those scholarship kids accepted Christ as their Savior. The way we do it is the believing camper who brings the unbelieving camper to camp, they both get scholarship. That way they're following the Great Commission. I want my friend to hear about Jesus, right? And so it goes through a church. Every kid that comes to camp comes through a church because the believer goes to church. So they bring a camper, we give the scholarship to their church to manage it, and then they bring scholarship kids to camp through a church so we know who's at least there's 10 scholarship kids at camp that are not saved, at least that we know of. And they all have an email and a phone number, and they're associated with a church. And so we get back to that church. We call them, such and such brought this kid got saved. Can you do something with them? Can you disciple them? We had 14 different dedication decisions. 4 of our staff said, I want to go into seminary, and they did. 2 said of our staff said, I want to go into full-time missions. That means go out of Chile to be missionary. 2 of our staff said, I want to go into full-time ministry in Chile. And that's the first week, 2017, 1 week of camp. My wife and I are mouth drop open. This is crazy. We didn't expect these results so soon. Our camp team, which we had molded together, were astonished at what God did. Well, we said we're gonna keep going. We're gonna do 4 weeks next week. So that same property, which it was a borrowed property. We started putting up a house on it. The guy said, "Come build a house for 5 years. You can use the property." We started building a house. Leave everything to the property after the 5 years is over. We said, okay, no contract, no anything, just a word of mouth. All right, I guess that's how we do it. Well, he wasn't the owner of the property. We had held camp illegally on that property that year before. So we had to call 400 people who were signing up for this next year's camp and cancel everything. The Lord just allowed us to find another property in 1 week in order to save one of those weeks of the 4. And we found another property. That we took that house down. My family and I were going to move into that house, actually. We had got out of our rental. We're getting ready to move into that house, and now everything fell through. This was January 3rd of 2018. All this happened. Our camp was starting in 3 weeks. So we moved in. We put in our church family got together, built the second floor on top of my in-law's house right next to the church. So now we're living in this house next to our church right now as we speak. There's the second floor. The church is on the left-hand side there. We're living that second floor. And then we decided the Lord saved 1 week out of those 4. We went to a Catholic place. That hurdle was going on. We'll give you the week for free, they said. We heard what's going on. We feel bad. Come use it. So we had a statue of Mary, a statue of Peter, a statue of St. John, all these statues watching us all week long in this Catholic retreat center. It was crazy. But we did it. And we called it Restart. Here's the results. 120 campers, 34 seminary decisions. We had teamed up with the Baptist Institute to help put this on. And they ran all the teaching and the preaching. And we ran all the logistics. And it went from 13-year-old up to unlimitless age. So it could be 40 years old as a camper. That was different from our own camp. So 34 of them said, I'm going to go into seminary. And they did. They signed up there at the Baptist Institute. We had 30 volunteers, 15 salvation decisions, and 11 full-time ministry decisions. And that's only our second week of like saving that week. Praise the Lord. That baptism, those guys, 3 of them got saved at that camp that year. That's our church baptizing them. Then as we get going, we said, okay, the pandemic, right before the pandemic started, we were here, 2019 and 2020. We didn't get enough support to go back. They said, Jared, fly back home. Fly back to Chile for the 2 weeks. So I went for 2 weeks. We had 3 weeks of camp. We called it the Great Treasure. We're going to have our first ever little kids camp, 6-year-old to 12 years old, 7-year-old to 12 years old. Then we had our first ever young adults week, Revolution, right? And then continue with their 2 teen weeks, Revolution weeks. Little did I know there was actually going to be a revolution, which did happen after this. But in between, actually, we said it, and it happened that October. It's crazy. But I went down, I flew back down there. I got there. When I got there, I actually got there midweek of our first week. This is how many kids came. 90 kids showed up. This is 2019. 2020, 90 kids showed up. 6 to 12 years old. Wow. That's almost the same numbers we had of that 120 week. Then the next week comes in. I'm watching our volunteers watch all the new young adults come in. We had 60 young adults come in just for the weekend. Friday, Saturday. And there they are, the 16 young adults. We're in a new property because we lost the other property. And then our teen week 1 starts, and my volunteer staff was sitting there shaking as all the cars kept coming in on Monday. Just kept driving in. 90 kids showed up. 90. And then the next week, 90 more teens showed up. And I had to fly out halfway through this week and come back because that was the rule they gave me. I could only be there for 2 weeks. I tell you what, I didn't have a place to sleep. I had to sleep in the car. We had to put up those little pop-up tents and put sheets over them because we didn't have enough room. We put bunk beds in these little pop-up tents. It was amazing, a great problem. The co-director and myself slept in different cars. We gave up our beds so the counselors could sleep in the cabins, we call them, tents, with the kids. What a great problem. What a great problem. And I fly home, I'm just like, I got to get back there. Here's the results from that year. 300 campers. Look at this, 100 volunteers. 100 volunteers. Remember, what am I doing? The first strategy is identify. Those are my campers, those 100 volunteers. We're identifying those leaders. 54 salvation decisions, oh boy. Now I got to follow up on those. That's become very hard now. 54 salvation decisions and countless dedication decisions. Well, here we go. COVID-19 hit. I'm in the airport, coming through the airport. This China virus is on the screen. It's in China. As I come home, we go to one weekend at a church to present at a church. We're in another church that second week, midway through the week, at a mission committee meeting. And the guy comes running in the meeting, says, the whole school, public school's shut down. We got to go home. Everyone's got to go home. And everything's shut down. If you remember that, March 2020. It was unbelievable. So we didn't know what to do. We said, why don't we have an online camp with Zoom? It's been a year. Everyone's shut in their house. So, okay, let's go. This was March 2020. January, February 2021, we're going to put on an online camp. It's crazy. But my co-director actually has experience as a television guy. He's worked on a television station, so he knows how to do all this. And he said, Jared, we can do this. I said, Matias, are you sure? Because I'm in the United States. You're in Chile. You're going to have to take all this on. I can't help you. So they did. They got some volunteers. Our church was not being used, the auditorium. They weren't allowed to go to church. So we converted our auditorium to a studio. See what's going on. We had one camera. We put that camera up. Someone else let us borrow another camera. We had 30 volunteers, and we put on this Zoom meeting. During the live Zoom, we had 500 Zoom campers show up for two different nights of our Zoom, one for teens and one for young adults. We had 30 volunteers, one salvation decision, because we had breakout Zoom rooms, and I was in the breakout salvation room. I want that one. And there was other breakout decision rooms that you could go to. We had one salvation decision. I know that because I led him to the Lord on Zoom. 130 other decisions in other breakout rooms. And on YouTube, it was streamed live. We had 1,500 devices signed on live on YouTube. This is absolutely insane. Now, this is crazy. We didn't realize no one could do anything because they were all closed. They couldn't go anywhere. They were shut up in their houses. We called it impulse. We wanted to give them a punch, a spiritual punch, to get them back in the relationship with Jesus. It was really, really interesting. Then we went back to Chile in 2022. We weren't allowed to have camp. They didn't let us because of the rules. But in 2023, it opened back up again. We had 360 campers show up, 80 volunteers, 52 churches, from 52 churches, 16 different cities, and 40 salvation decisions. Okay, now things are starting to get out of hand. In a great way. Then 2024, we're getting up to speed now, up to now. 372 campers came in 2024, January. 100 volunteers. Wow. 65 churches from different cities, 23 different cities, and 64 salvation decisions. Then just this February, we just had 406 campers, 150 volunteers. Catch that. It just jumped. 80 per week. We let the volunteers come. If they stay for the 4 weeks, they got to come to training. If they pay for the training week, which is like $65, they don't have to pay for the other weeks they stay. So we lose money off that. But then they have to pick a training week and at least one more week we can stay all three. So we have a week. 75 different churches are represented in the campers and the volunteers. 32 different cities from all over the world. 51 salvation decisions. 7 different countries represented. Wow, what's going on? Some of those people live in Chile. They're Colombians, Haitians, Venezuelans. And then some of them came from Paraguay, Argentina, Peru, Honduras, United States. We had our first ever group from the United States. 2 people came from one church. 2 people came from another church. My mom came, and it was just all individually. It wasn't a group thing. They just all came. And so now we have a missionary from our mission who came down to see all this, and his whole job, he's got his own law firm. His whole job is to put on mission trips for churches. So now he is getting together a mission trip every January. He has at least 6 people now for this coming January to bring 6 people down from different churches. And he's going to come back every year and make it a mission trip thing every year. 4 trips a year. The first one every year is to Chile. So if you want to go, let me know. We'll connect you with him, and he organizes it all. Praise the Lord for what's going on. But remember, we're just identifying. Here's all the camps we've had, a representation of what we had. I remember a guy from Camp Calvary, the director there, said, "Jared, I never repeat a theme." He's got all these themes on his wall. And I showed him this picture. We haven't repeated one yet. It was really, really neat. Remember, we're identifying. Who are we identifying? Well, these people accepted Christ as Savior this January and February in our camp, and they got baptized this March. This is Nico and Naomi. They accepted Christ as their Savior in our camp this year, and now they're in our church. They used to come to our church as kids. He did. Now he's got back in our church, faithfully back in our church with his sister, Camila. They got saved. This is Matias and Matias, a scholarship program. One church leader invited a non-church kid to camp. They both come with scholarship. Matias on the right-hand side said, got up at the bonfire, "I want to thank Matias for bringing me to camp. I am now a follower of Jesus. You should be too." Crazy. Then you have more scholarship kids, the scholarship program. This is a Pentecostal pastor's kid. Got invited by scholarship by one of our church members. They both came on scholarship. He got up at the bonfire and he said, "My name is so-and-so. I'm a Pentecostal pastor's kid in El Bosque, which is blocks from our church." And he said, "I never have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior this week." And then he challenged all the other kids to accept Christ as his Savior. He's heard about Jesus. He's never heard the gospel of Jesus. Then you have these two. They were drug dealers, got saved, and they started coming to our church. They no longer come to our church. They're now adults, moved out. I don't know what they're doing. They came for about 2 years. All those 4 got saved. Then we're identifying leaders. And this is where we're going to start moving quick. And then we're going to be done. This is Rodrigo. Rodrigo is one of the founders of Tierra Alta in the very original picture. He is now a church planter in Dallas, Texas, Hispanic church in Dallas, Texas. Went to Bible college and is now a missionary to the United States. Crazy. Then you have Nico and Michelle. They are now church planters 10 hours south of us where we are in Santiago, Chile. They're planting a church. We have Cynthia and Sergio. She's our camp cook. After the very first year, they said, "Go ask Cynthia to be your cook." I said, I need a cook. We got to have a cook. So I went and asked her. She said, "Sure, I'll do it. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know what camp is." None of our volunteers knew what camp was. So she did it. She worked. I was beside her because my 11 years of professional camp ministry, even though I grew up in it, but I was in the operations side of camp for 11 years, and the main part of that is the food. So I was next to her the entire time, and she's a great cook, but we had to, okay, we want butter, not margarine. Like little things that make it better, everything better, right? And so she got it down. When she saw how many people accepted Christ as a Savior, how many people made decisions for Christ, she got up in our little circle of leaders, crying. She had gotten saved the year before, by the way. She said, "I never knew I could use something I love for Jesus, to cook." And her husband, he's crying. He's an old pastor's kid who fell away from the Lord. Came back when she got saved. He's crying seeing his wife like that. And that he's a butcher in the food industry. They both are doing the logistics for all our food with me. Sergio and Cynthia. Awesome story. Then we have Alejandra, who's the head of all our medical stuff. She's a Word of Life Bible grad in Argentina. Head counselor all these years, plus all the medical. So she heads that up. This is our crew. This last year is our leadership team. It's about 16 people, you can see. And we're training them. Not only identifying them, we need to train them. So this last year, we had our first ever church plant training. This is, to me, is my dream. It's taken all those years to get to this point. We still haven't planted a church yet. But these guys are being trained of how to plant a church. So we joined up with a guy named David Rogers, ABWE, a Peruvian church planter, a Chilean church planter, and myself. And we put on a class, a 10-hour introductory course of how to plant churches on the mission field. And so half those people in that picture are from our team. Really neat. And then now we're connecting them. So this next year, we want to go to this, it's called Isla de Maipo, which means Maipo Island. It's not an island. It's just a town right outside where we'll hold our camp. So all our camp logistics is touching this town. That's where we do all this stuff the last 4 or 5 years now. My wife's family, her mom's side, is from this area. They all live there. So we have a lot of contacts there. We've had a lot of movement in this town. And so you know what? There's no Bible-believing church. Zero. It's 37,000 people. There's zero Bible-believing churches. It's growing 40% since 2017, 2022. It's only 1 hour from Santiago, the capital, where we live now. It's only 15 minutes from where we hold camp every year. And now we got a new property, long story. It's only 35 minutes from our new property. We're going to build our house. So we're saying, let's go. We're going to go plant a church here. So this year, we're going to go plant a church. It's enough pulling. We've been pulling these guys. Let's go plant a church. Let's go plant a church. Now we've got to go. And so we're hoping that all this pulling, now we've go. Who are we going to go with? Well, Johnny. Remember Rambo? Rambo in July came here, went to different camps, him and his wife, and I sat them down and said, what is holding you back from full-time ministry? Because they are called, and they believe they're called to ministry even. Our pastor thinks he's called to ministry. And so what is holding you back from just jumping in full throttle, economically speaking? And he said, that's exactly it. I can't afford it. I got my daughter in college, and my two sons graduated last week. This last week they graduated high school. They're two twins. He said, I got to be able to provide for them. And I kind of chuckled. I don't know if I offended him, but I said, is that it? Because we've seen God provide like crazy. And I looked at him and said, Johnny, would you be able to go raise support at Chilean churches? He's like, no, there's no way. There's no churches that would have me in. I said, Johnny, you're Chilean Rambo. You have 75 churches that know who you are from all these years of service. Every kid loves you. They're going to have you in. Even if they don't take you on for support, they'll at least listen to you. He said, I never thought of it that way. Well, Jared, would you help me get a presentation together? I said, sure, I'd love to. He helps me present the camp every year anyway, all these different churches. He goes, Jared, can you present with me? Yes. Yes. I would love to. So they just decided to jump in with us full time. So pray for them. Then you have Gabriel and Gabrielle and Cati. They've been on our team since 2020. They're in charge of the head counselors. They do all our training for counseling. And they're in charge of the devotionals, which you can see is amazing how they do. She's a graphic designer, and he's a teacher. Great. They just became full-time missionaries with Source of Light Ministries out of Georgia. They're going to be the head of Source of Light in Chile, which allows them to work full-time with us. Wow. Wow. Now, they got to go raise support in Chile, and we're going to go through all that with them. Then we have these guys who are missionaries in Mexico for 9 years and Costa Rica for 3 years with Word of Life. They moved back 2 years ago to Chile, and they're looking for ministry. They've worked with us for 2 years sporadically in our camp. And we've been talking, discussions, Jared, I want to go plant churches. I want to do ministry to church planters. That's what he wants to do, to pastors. So we're talking. Pray for Michael and Jocelyn. And this guy is the most ready of all of them. This is our co-director, the one who worked for a television channel, the one who's made all these videos. Absolutely amazing, talented guy. He's preaching, he's counseling, he's confronting, and they love him for it. It's absolutely insane how good he is. He's the guy that takes my communication to all the volunteers. He handles all the relationships. He's my brother-in-law, Matias, and he's the most ready. He's single, so pray for him there. But he's sort of doubting if he should go plant a church as a single guy or not. I said, yes, come. He would probably be the head church planter. He's that good at preaching and relationships. And you see that kid right there in front of him? You've seen him before. His name is Nico. Remember him? That's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing this. If you boil it all down to one thing, that's it. Growing kids and teens in Jesus Christ and having them grow and be disciple-making disciples, that's why churches can be planted. So pray for this. How can you partner with us? Well, you can pray for us. We have a sign-up iPad back there, or you can scan our prayer cards, which are back there, and you can just sign in for an email. You'll get an email every 2 to 3 months of a prayer email. Then you'll get, you also can do scholarships. We're looking for, have 20 scholarships per week. 10 are believers and 10 are non-believers. Or sometimes we split them up 50-50. So we get 50% scholarships, so we have 20 non-believers. Depends how that church wants to handle it. So pray for our scholarship program. you can give towards that. And we also need volunteers who pay to come. Their scholarships. And then you can come to Chile. We have the mission trip program. You can come every January, February. Or just come as a church a different time of year. And then pray for this. We don't have enough seats. We don't have enough tables. And we don't have enough tents. So we need to buy more this year so we don't turn any kids away. So pray for the tent, table, and chair campaign. All those chairs get carried to the dining hall to eat, and they get carried back to the meeting room, then back to the dining hall 3 times a day. So it's a lot. It's been 100. We had 120 chairs last year. So we need chairs. So pray for that. And one last thing, the easiest way that you can partner with us is maybe through coffee. How many of you drink coffee? How many of you like good coffee? Okay, you'll love this. This is premium coffee out of Morgantown, Pennsylvania, a Christian owner. They actually sell it outside Shady Maple Smorgasbord. I mean, you know where that is. And they have a coffee house right there that they sell right out of the window. That's this coffee. It's called Twin Valley Coffee. He was my neighbor for a long time. And another Christian businessman set this up. So if people go to this website, there's a whole list of camps that get supported. Camp Calvary actually is on the list. High Points on the list. But they put Tierra Alta Camp on the list. So you can go buy coffee and choose Tierra Alta, and all the money goes to scholarships. So we're getting, this last month, we got $80 through the coffee that got sent to us. So praise the Lord. And then the last way to partner with us is individually or through the church, supporting us as missionaries. We're at 83% support as of this week in order to go back. They're going to let us go back, but if we don't have enough 100% support by the end of February, we got to come back here in March to keep raising support. So pray for that. What can you pray for? Well, all these things I just showed you. The next phases, our church plants coming up. Pray for Chilean church planters. And number one, pray for souls saved and grown in Jesus Christ. We have this connection page, so you can check that out. And then one last video, if there's time. 2 minutes? No? 2 minutes? It's okay? It's a different one in the morning service, but all right, let's do this. If you remember the first video you saw of our camp, now you're going to see how it's grown, the difference between the two videos. And then I'm done.
I'm going to ask Jared and his family if they would just make your way out to the table. We're going to close this Sunday school hour in prayer and then check with them of anything you want to see. We'll start the morning service at 10:45. Let's stand together and pray. And if you would like to help Jim in setting up any of the tables for the lunch downstairs, you're more than welcome to make your way downstairs. Gentlemen, you can help Jim downstairs with that. Father in heaven, thank you. Oh, Lord, what a blessing it is to see the work of God continued through the great commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you bless abundantly
with this whole camp ministry, church planting effort, pastoral training, teaching, and just all that all goes on down there. May you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to this message from the Word of God. I do trust that it was indeed a blessing to your heart. As I mentioned at the beginning of this recording, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to enter a relationship with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've not yet done so. It is God's desire for you to know Him personally. And thankfully, you can have the absolute confidence, the full assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know God and that you're on your way to heaven. Please contact me at the church office at 908-788-2672 so we can talk directly about your being absolutely sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and that you have a relationship with God. You can also visit our website at hbcflemington.org and click on the link on the homepage at the top left corner entitled God's Free Gift. You can also learn more about our ministry by navigating the different links on the homepage. Let me also take this opportunity to invite you to attend any of our church services. Our Sunday school hour begins at 9:30 a.m. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45 a.m. Our evening worship service begins at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday Bible study, prayer service, and Truth Trackers Children's Ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thank you again for the privilege to minister to you today. If I could be of any further help, please do not hesitate to contact me. Have a great day.